Welcome back to the Lovely Craftians. This episode contains adult language, references to drugs and drug use throughout, and is intended for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Steam rises in slow, spiraling wisps from the coffee cups in the center console, pre-dawn mist rolling off tiny, dark lakes. The seats have long since stopped conforming to your weight, instead pushing back to warp your muscles and bones to fit the austere, unyielding vehicle's posture. Even in the city that never sleeps, the quiet in the wee hours of the night threatens to lull you to sleep, a sleep you desperately keep at bay with your mini lakes of bodega coffee, and now I'm gonna need a constitution check.
Oh gosh. 33.
Okay, so this coffee is doing it for you. You are still awake. This is night 3 of a stakeout, but for you, it's really night 1. You've not been much included at all in this. So you're perky and upright. Your partner who's sitting in the driver's seat, their eyes are looking a little swimmy. Like they're a little sleepy.
And I lean over and I tap her shoulder. Hey, Jay. You good?
Yeah, fuck, I'm sorry.
It's rough. You've been here for a minute.
I know. We don't usually do stakeouts like this, but, you know. Gotta wait for my guy.
Yeah. I mean, like, how's your coffee? Is it not doing it for you, or?
No, it's fine. No, it's good, but I'm just, you know. Night after night doing this, it's like you gotta fuck up your sleep schedule, you gotta like stay alert. That's why they usually have partners in here. Speaking of, how's your coffee?
It's actually a pretty decent top shelf quality bodega coffee. Can't go wrong.
Hard to go wrong around this parts.
So what is it about this guy?
Oh, this guy, he's just, he's one of my informants. Yeah. He's telling me about this big somnia thing that's going on.
I kind of heard about it. I don't know that much about it, though. Just know it's from the Dreamlands, you know? What does it do? Like, what does it do to people?
It's mostly like if LSD and Molly had a baby.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay. Harder on the LSD side, you know, a little bit more on the acid. Mm-hmm. And it's just the new hotness. And, you know, just from what I've heard, it can send whoever takes it into the Dreamlands. The trick is coming back.
So low-key dangerous. Got it.
We're going to have to bump it up to, like, mid or high-key dangerous, because... You know, it leaves... You know, we gotta toss some opium in, because it really knocks them out. Sends them into la-la land. And it's more like their body becomes kind of a door, you know? And it leaves that body open for interdimensional hijacking. So we don't really want that. We want whatever's staying over there to stay over there and, you know.
I totally behind that. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, they wouldn't just send us after, like, a fucking weed or something. Nobody gives a shit about that.
No.
We don't usually spend our time and resources on drugs, but this one's kind of a big one, and we've got a lot of pressure from powerful people.
I can understand that. So your informant's supposed to be around here at some point?
Yeah, I haven't seen him in a few days. Kind of why I came out. Yeah, you mentioned a big ring going on and then disappeared, and I was a little bit nervous.
What's the last thing he said? Like, text message, or...?
He dropped me a note. It wasn't at a precinct. It was, like, at one of our little drop spots, you know, and... said he heard about a major distributor of some sort. Rolling in, and then he kind of bailed, so gotta keep an eye out for him.
Jeez.
Yep. What have you been doing? What's your caseload like that you're on this case now?
Wait, hold on. Do I have anything that I
Nope, make it up.
Okay, shit. I just like wrapped up some minor thefts like in Hell's Kitchen not too long ago. Hmm. Nothing big, nothing crazy. And I've just been kind of wrapping up paperwork for that for a little bit. And then I got pulled onto this, which I'm happy to help, of course. But
Yeah.
So, yeah. Nothing crazy. Nothing.
Good. We don't want crazy.
No one wants crazy.
Enough of that. All right. Roll spot hidden for me.
Cop stuff.
You know, cop stuff.
I don't see shit. 86.
Okay. She has been reclined pretty far in her chair. Why don't you describe what she looks like?
So she has medium length black hair put into a tight bun. She has hazel eyes, very heavily freckled face. She is half my height, so she is very short, but you can tell that she works out. So she's like a very... I wouldn't say jacked, but she definitely works out. She could definitely probably knock me out. I would say that's what she looks like.
She's got her bun up on the top of her head because she's stakeout time. And she knew what she was going to be slouching into. So she has been leaned pretty heavily down in her seat. And she finally like peels herself up and straightens herself with no small amount of help from the steering wheel. She like uses that as leverage to yank herself forward. And she starts looking pretty intently out the window.
I'm gonna follow her look where she's looking.
All right, do another spot hidden for me then.
I swear to God, if I don't see it. 38.
That passes.
So that's good, okay.
All right, now you can see you've been parked on the right-hand side of the street. You're facing in the direction of the river, but you're not, like, looking at the river. We're not in a neighborhood that looks at the river, if you know what I'm saying. So,
yeah.
So there's an overpass that goes over these, like, shorter, stockier sort of warehouse kind of buildings on either side, and there's some pawn shops down here. Probably the nicest establishment is the bodega that you guys got your coffee from. It's probably just one of those places that's so well established that nobody would touch it just because...
Yeah, I mean,
that's it.
The bodega for you.
Yeah, that's your source of like everything, basically, for this neighborhood anyway. Like, there's definitely not a Costco anywhere near or like a...
Oh, no.
Fuck. Now we have to rename Costco if we didn't already.
Shit. No. I was going to say Roscoe's, but...
That's also a thing, I think.
That's also a place.
Costco's? I was going to say Costlo's.
Oh, no, I like that one.
All right.
Costlo's.
Costlo's. Add that to the list. Christ sakes.
This is getting great.
It's so out of control, but I can't stop it, so... All right, so there's definitely not a Costlo in this neighborhood. So the bodega is like... We protect this place at all costs. And I don't care.
That's all bodegas should.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I don't care whose turf this is on. We protect this bodega. So, that, like, anyway, we got, like, way off track there. So, this bodega is important to the neighborhood, and it's very clear that it is, but, like, the rest of the neighborhood is kind of, like, not on that side. And it's one of those recessed doorways, so there's like a little entry-ish sort of way that part of it is hidden from the street lamp shadow, just the angle is all wrong, and finally you spot a figure of someone who's incredibly skinny, also very tall. They're just a very lanky human being, and they probably would be even taller if they weren't hunched over and like protective of their neck.
Mm-hmm.
And with really garbage posture, and I feel like I'm calling out a lot of people because everyone's posture is sort of shit. So he's just, it's clear he's lurking in those shadows.
Hmm. Who's that?
I think that's my guy, actually.
Oh? Has he always looked so... skittish?
Yeah, I don't think he gets to be in his line of work without being a little on the skittish side, but yeah, he is acting a little more skittish than normal. Mm. Here, you stay put. I'll go grab him. Just right. You just keep an eye out. And she, like, pats your hand in, like, a dismissive kind of, like, stay put. I got this. Don't trip, dog, kind of way. I'm gonna have you roll a psychometry, though.
I'll
do that. 49. Oh, that barely passes.
I was like, fuck. That was
close. When she touches your hand, you get a little bit of a tinge, which isn't unusual for you. You get tinges from people, especially if you're close to them. You tend to drop your guard a little bit more, so you're more open to getting their static coming across your airwaves. And you get a tinge that while she's outwardly like, stay here, it's fine, there is a tension underlying that that reminds... actually, roll a psychology if you want to decipher it more than that.
Yeah, that's good. I was like...
40, what is that?
47.
Oh, still passes. After spending so many hours with Jay, it's fairly easy for you to decipher, like, is this just stress? Is something going on in her personal life? Is this work related? And this tension that you're picking up as she pats your hand and gets out of the car is more of a concealing sort of tension. There, it's a need to continue hiding. You don't know what, though.
All right, well, I'm just gonna, like, narrow my eyes at that, but I'm gonna watch her back regardless. Probably, like, put my hand on the door to get ready to, like, leap into action if she needs me. But I'll keep an eye out.
I'm going to have you roll two things. I'm going to have you roll a spot hidden.
Okay.
I'm going to...
41.
Oh, you are, like, barely squeaking under to pass, but you're still passing. And now roll another psychology.
54. I'm going to use luck on that.
All right.
Everything's like in the 40s and 50s.
It's good to be middle of the road because the alternative is for it to be like extreme one way or the other.
Knock on wood.
Do you really want to succeed? Do you really want to fail? You could just like just ease into it and not even trip. All right. So your spot hidden, the figure that's in that covered doorway starts shifting about a little on the excited side. You're not sure what kind of excited it is, but they're definitely animated as she approaches, and they're much more fidgety. She's approaching, it's rigid towards you, but it's, like, fine towards him, if that makes sense. There's, like, she's trying to put on some sort of front. It's her false bravado walk, which you've seen a bazillion times, but...
So she was more nervous around me, but not around him, even though he's kind of, like, sus as fuck.
Yeah.
I'm gonna keep watching for now.
All right, so they start talking. Let's see. Do you wanna roll against your luck and tell me what you get? Sure. Your current luck is 51. Sorry.
51. 19.
Damn. So this is the cruiser that she's been parked in for several days, but also the one that she tends to drive when you guys are out on a beat or something. So she doesn't have personal effects in here necessarily because it is a cop car, but she did leave her keys that have her personal keychain attached to it.
I look to her and then I look to the keys, and then like I reach for her, the item that is her personal key chain part of it, at the very least. And I'm going to activate psychometry.
All right, I'll let you roll at advantage since you're doing it intentionally.
Six.
Oh, never mind. Damn.
I was like, thank you for giving me that option, but...
Okay, so you get impressions of having been here several times before, of flashes of her anticipation. And it goes from being kind of nervous and inquisitive to being greedy.
Well, that's not great. Can I do like a psychology on what those feelings could mean? Because that seems like a very odd thing to ask versus psychologizing a person, but...
In a way you would be psychologizing a person. I guess if you rolled psychology now, it would be to go over her previous behavior that you've like seen of her.
Mm-hmm.
Since, I don't know, in relation to these feelings, like trying to track somebody's actions back. I'd allow that, yeah.
Okay. What the fuck? I got a one.
Why are you apologizing to me?
I have been re-blessing these dice several times. So I'm like, this...
It could...
Today's good.
Today is a good one. We'll just keep it. All right. Roll your d10 for me.
Five. Yo. This don't happen often, peeps.
It really doesn't. We got to get excited when it does. All right, so with such a critical success, it's really easy for you to plot kind of where she was and where you were in relation to these sort of anxious feelings. So you would pin the initial feelings of like, what's going on? Why do I gotta go talk to this guy? You can pin that to roughly when she started taking on this case. It would have been about the time that they were approached by this guy having additional information. And that's when she really started putting her effort into this particular case. And as far as the sort of greedier feelings, those hungrier feelings, that would probably come in more recently. And she has been acting a bit standoffish, a bit protective of her case. And because you critically succeeded, if you had to guess, they really ramped up and got tinges of, like, territorial feelings about the time that your chief, Lance, started telling her that she needs backup. If the case is that big, she needs to start having somebody else come on. That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. So when she started getting even more territorial is when, like, the chief started asking for more people, like, for a person to come on for her.
Yeah, when the chief started putting a little bit more pressure on her. To be like, what are you doing with this case? And if it's a case that's really as big as you say it is, then we need more people on it.
I got you. So I drop it and I look back to her. Where is she now? Is she like still animately talking to this guy?
Yeah, the two are talking. It seems to be a pretty even back and forth. Not necessarily a light back and forth, not like you would bump into a neighbor outside and be like, yeah, how's the weather? But it's definitely less tense than you would expect for him having been gone and allegedly missing.
I'm just wondering, like, I don't think approaching her would be the wisest decision at the moment, but I kind of want to hear what they're talking about. Is there a way I can... If I get out the car, she can definitely see me get out the car, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it won't be subtle.
Okay. Like, okay, then I'm just going to keep my hand on the door. And I'm going to look around them to see if there's anyone else nearby.
Okay, just spotted. You're looking around and you notice that at the very end of the block on the opposite side of the street, there is another car that is surprisingly cop-like. Like, you guys all kind of drive the same undercover cars, which sort of defeats the purpose, but, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's sitting at the end of the street.
Do we have a radio in the car?
You do.
Can I do this? I'm just trying to remember how cops do this. It was like they can like ping another radio.
Yeah, you can ping dispatch and dispatch will find out that info for you.
Okay, I'll ping dispatch then. Do I call them or do I like just like radio them? This is Bishop to dispatch to the radio.
Dispatch.
Hey, is there another like unmarked vehicle in the neighborhood that me and Jillian are in at the moment?
Let me look it up for you, honey.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got car number 5201, I think.
5201?
Yeah, he's in your vicinity.
All right, thank you. And then I change the radio to ping 5201. Hello?
That's what you hear a bunch of sputtering, like he's hit the button and he didn't mean to.
Yeah. 5201. Yeah.
This is Detective Bishop. Who am I speaking with?
Who are you speaking with?
Jesus, quick. Do I know who it is?
It's one of your colleagues. You could just make it up.
Oh, okay.
They are also from your precinct, so.
Okay, I'm trying.
No J names.
I almost did a J.
No more J's. We got too many.
Timothy Ward.
We don't even have a T name. That's perfect. Okay.
Okay, so it's just like, Tim?
Yeah. Hey, Bishop. What's up? Over. Fuck.
What are you doing here? I didn't realize that Jay asked for backup.
Oh, yeah. Sure did. Yeah, just in case.
Uh-huh. So what exactly did she request backup for from you? She asked me to just, you know, watch her sex pretty much, but, I didn't know anyone else was coming. She just kind of said it was just us.
It was a secret stakeout, man. Over.
Timmy is relatively new.
Sounds like it.
He's a puppy.
He's your puppy.
He's your puppy.
All right. Well, do you have eyes on her? Do you see anything out of the ordinary? Is there anyone else in the car with you?
I'll make up a name this time.
Arthur McElroy's in the car too. Over.
Arthur is slightly older.
Okay, I'm like, has he been in the precinct longer than Tim?
Oh, by a long shot. Yeah, he's been there probably longer than you.
Can you put him on, please?
Yeah, Bishop.
Hey.
It's Arthur.
Hey, Arthur, how you doing? How's Tim doing?
Jesus Christ. I probably have to leash him up and take him out for a piddle soon.
Soon. Oh, the little puppy.
You're so excited.
I just wanted to... I was just a little confused. I knew that like I was kind of called onto this to help Jay. So I was just kind of surprised to see you guys, that's all. Do you know what's going on?
Yeah, we've been on this case for a while now.
I'd heard that the informant was missing. So it was just like kind of appeared. And it seems that she's not a little like a... little surprised, but I honestly just don't know anything about the case, so I'm just kind of concerned, especially for an informant that went missing and then suddenly reappears. Normally it's not really a good thing, but
well, at least he didn't turn up dead.
That is true. That is fair. Do you know anything else about this case? She hasn't really told me anything.
Oh, just what's in the case file. Big Somnia ring. We got that this guy here is who came to us. Well, came to Jillian. And then she brought the case. And, I was just working the ring.
Okay. Would it be, like... I don't want to, like, step on her toes because this is her case, but should I go over to make sure she's all right?
Nah. That's not necessary. She looks fine. She looks calm. She doesn't even have her hand on her gun.
Okay. Well, thank you for giving me some extra info. So, yep. Take care. Watch out, Timmy. Keep your head.
Thanks.
And I
over.
Sorry, he just starts laughing. He does a thing where he like laughs as like he cuts off the radio. okay. Like I'm getting a bad, like I hung up already, but I'm like, man, I'm getting a bad vibe about this. So there's two extra people. How is Jillian doing? Is she still talking to him?
It actually looks like she's saying goodbye. They have exchanged something. She has a packet in her hand, and he is like furtively turning away from the light with clutching something else.
Hmm.
And the packet she's got is about the size of a brick.
Drugs. That's what it is. Sorry, that was shoddy. sorry, so I just kind of watch her as she comes in.
Yeah, she seems to be walking over pretty confidently. There's not like a pep in her step. She's keeping it more professional than that, but
if it wasn't professional, it would be peppy.
Yeah, exactly. And she gets in the car and you finally get a look at this brick that she's got in her hand, and it is carefully wrapped, tinfoil, layers of tinfoil, duct tape, saran wrap on top of all of that, and then a little bit more packing tape on top.
Uh-huh. Really good packaging there for your informant.
You gotta have it. Gotta have it.
So I'm assuming that's what, Somnia?
Yep. It's this is a sample, as it were. This is what we need in order to get the ring.
All right. Everything went okay?
Yeah. He had to lay low for a bit, but you know how it goes.
Okay. I was unaware that like someone else was watching our backs here.
Oh shit, Arthur and Timmy. Fuck, I'm sorry. I should have told you.
It's okay. I mean, can't go wrong with extra eyes, especially Timmy.
God, he's just so excited all the time.
All the time, like just wow. he kept on forgetting how to say over. To like end the call, like he didn't have to, like we were kind of like being casual.
Yeah, that might have been my fault. I told him he had to.
So it's fine, but yeah, but no problems, no worries. So next steps, what is next?
Next step is lockup. I gotta take this in, and we get the dubious honor of taking more drugs off the street.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I got more paperwork up to my tits, so.
It how it goes normally, as one does, you know.
Yeah.
All right.
Roll a psychology for me.
Is this when it all ends?
Apparently.
68.
So, something about this is totally off, but you can't pin what, and if. It doesn't feel fine. Something feels fucky.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you're taking drugs to lock up, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. And it's Jay. Like,
yeah,
it's something Jay. Definitely feels off, but I mean, like, it's, like, I've known her for a while. Like, it's Jay. I trust her.
All right. So you guys finally drive off. As you're leaving, you kind of pass in the direction of Timmy and Arthur, and she honks the horn, and you can see Timmy just like jumps almost nearly out of his skin. And Arthur's just shaking his head like, are you fucking kidding me? But they wave as you guys leave.
They wave back.
You head back to your precinct and roll another psychology for me. So I know how this
treat
goes.
People like it's no one's business.
No.
72.
Oh no.
I'm just like.
It did end. It started so nice.
It did end. Oh, fuck.
Oh, man. Oh, this is cool. Oh, I love it.
Hi.
Oh, what the, how How did you get here?
I borrowed Cassie's portal doohickey.
Does she know you borrowed it?
Let's not get sidetracked. What are you up to?
Well, I got this amulet of life from the Imperial Forge. It's really cool. You can use it to track your HP, MP, sanity, pretty much just about anything that goes from 0 to 999.
Wow, that's gotta be nice for tabletop RPGs and card games.
Oh, yeah, I really think so. Alright, so you see these three mirror dials? Okay, each one represents hundreds, tens, and single digits. Since you're mounted to this wood base, you can just slide the dials to whatever number you want.
God, that's cool! Did you get to design it yourself?
Yeah, sure did. They've got four different designs, all custom built to order, and with these pretty Swarovski crystals. Yes, Swarovski. Ooh. Right? You can pick from five different types of exotic wood base, gold or silver for the dials. Mm-hmm. And even, get this, even choose the crystal color.
Oh my gosh. I wish we had these for season one.
Well, the Amulet of Life was funded on Kickstarter in November 2020, but you can purchase them now on their website, theimperialforge.com.
I think you could hook a friend up with a coupon code,
Yeah, of course. You can use the code LOVELY21 at checkout to get 10% off.
Oh, that's awesome! Can I borrow it? I just want to show Sade.
I mean, sure, but you just got here.
Thanks, Ashley! You're the best! Heart emoji, finger guns, kissy face, bye! I love you!
Nice to see you, too.
All right, so you guys pull into your parking lot behind your precinct, and she leads you in. She has not let that package out of her hands basically the entire time, and she sort of leaves you at the desk. She makes for the evidence lockup. Well, spot hidden for me.
Come on
dice. I'll let you do it at advantage because you're, like, on edge now.
Okay. So, like, it was a 92, but, like...
Oofa. Oofa.
Oh, yay. A 2 instead. Okay.
All right. Roll your d10.
I got so scared. I need to know what's going on. 3.
Okay. Evidence lockup is further down than where she goes. She, like, makes down a hallway, but she turns into the locker room first. And the locker room has two doors, so there's a door that's closer to you, and then there's the locker room, whatever, and then there's, like, a second door, so that there's, like, two entrances.
Can I go through the second entrance?
Are you going to follow her immediately, or are you going to wait and see what happens?
I'm going to wait a few... Like 2 minutes minimum. I'll say like 3 minutes. I wait.
Okay, so.
And then I'm gonna follow her.
Nearing the end of that few minutes stretch, she pops out the other door and heads towards lockup.
Does she still have the package?
She's carrying something, for sure.
Well, she goes to lockup. I'm gonna go into the locker room.
All right. This is such a very, like, sports room locker area because there's, like, full-length changing lockers. There's, like, benches and shit. And I say sports area one because it's, like, they have cubbies, but they also have actual lockers with locks on them.
Gotcha.
What would you like to do here?
Is anyone else in there?
Oh, no. No.
super empty. Okay. I'm gonna go to Do I know where her locker is? I'm assuming I do. So,
oh, yeah.
I'm going to go up to that and psychometry her locker.
Uh-oh.
It's a 99.
So, critical failure. Critical failure. Nothing has screamed, "I am locked," harder at you than a locker like this before. That's all you get. It blocks out every thought that you've got. It's like, "I am a locker. I lock things in. I keep people out. I am a locker."
It's good to know that, like, lockers have, like, intention behind it, too. Just like, this is what I do. I am a locker.
Well, like, oh, you God, failed so hard that maybe your imagination is fucking with you.
Yeah, like, no, it's fine. It's good to know. So I just, like, oh, fuck, okay. And I was like, all right, whatever. Can I just look around the room to see? Because I can't say, like, something's out of place. Like, it's always out of place. It's a locker.
Roll your luck for me. Okay, yeah, that definitely beats my 78. So, as you've touched this locker and it's shouting at you that I am a locker, your hand brushes against the lock that's on it, and it's one of those dial locks. And mm-hmm. on the back, you feel a piece of, like, masking tape.
Is it the same masking tape from the brick?
I don't know if you could, like, forensically identify masking tape at this level, but it has a combination on it.
Oh. Well, that's rude. I'm sorry. Okay, I'll do the combination. I kind of shake my head at her because I'm like, that is not...
Jilly, the fuck?
Yeah, pretty much.
Secure.
Jilly, what the fuck? Like, if you're trying to, you're gonna be secretive. At least, like, be better at your locker combinations. And then just, like, start opening it.
Oh, yeah, you're still good there. Okay. Nothing to worry about.
Okay.
You're not in a secret timer that I only know about. All right. You open it up and the package that she was holding in the car is sitting on the top shelf.
Fuck. I'm going to close the door behind me. I was going to close the locker.
Are you leaving that package there? Or are you grabbing that?
Ah, fuck. I'm going to grab that package.
Oof, all right. Roll a power check.
60
Your power is 60.
No. 70, so no.
Okay, so unfortunately, I rolled a 10, so you are completely overwhelmed as you grab this thing. And on the outer layers, what you are getting is very much that greed that... Mm-hmm. There's a lot of money here. I want a lot of that money, and I can get a lot of that money if I'm part of it. Under that, there's a little bit of desperation. You couldn't tell whose desperation it is, where that necessarily came from, because it's a little bit deeper down. It feels like maybe it wasn't something that was surface touched so much as whoever was packing it. And then through the tinfoil, you feel it, like tendrils of light kind of reaching out and snaking their way, trying to bust through this tinfoil. And it's just nothing but pure promise. Like, anything that you really want to do, you can make it happen. You cut this bag open, you... how do I want you to take this? It's like a tab. So you would put it on your tongue and let it dissolve. So you just let this dissolve, and it will dissolve your consciousness into a world where literally anything that you want to have happen, no matter how fantastical, no matter how fucked up, you could make it happen there. And that's what this promise is, that's buried under tinfoil and tape.
Oh, Jesus. So can I just put it back? Did it drop? Like, what did I, like, did I try to pick it up?
That's and then, up
to
like, you.
I was just, all right. I like just almost just chuck it right back into the locker. So clearly it looks disturbed. Like clearly if she put it on gently, I like chucked it into the back of her locker and I slam it shut.
Roll your luck for me.
Hold on. I'm just blessing my dice real quick. 48. Wait, what is my luck right now? So I think it's
51.
Okay, God.
All right. Yeah, you got really lucky there. You throw it back in. Luckily, it doesn't hit any sharp edges and puncture through.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that had happened, there's no doubt in your mind that you would have taken this thing. So you're quietly thanking your lucky stars that your yeeting skill was on par for what you needed it to be just then.
Dope. Like a panicked yeet into the back of someone's locker.
Yeah, and like it hits back there and you're like, oh, fuck, oh, that could have been really bad. Thank God it wasn't.
So I close it, I lock her locker, and I go out the way I came in, not the opposite. Mm-hmm. Don't like that.
No, you're fine.
Okay. Was I able to successfully leave the locker
room? Yes.
Okay. Do I see Jay anywhere in the, the desk areas or like?
No, it seems she's still in lockup, and checking stuff into lockup does take a little bit because you have to do your paperwork and you gotta like sign off on shit. And the person who runs lockup overnight is sort of a hard ass, so you know it's gonna take her a bit.
Okay, so I'm just gonna go to lockup and just check in on her, and then like go back to my desk, not act like I'm internally freaking out and trying to figure out what to do, like to confront her about it or not. But I just wanted to talk to her, you know, size her up a little bit.
Okay, so are you going to check on her at lockup, or are you going to your desk?
I'm going to my. I was gonna go to check up on her first.
Okay, so you go down the corner and turn towards lockup, and she's standing there in front of this like caged area. Look, we've done this 1,000 times. I don't know why you got to see my ID again. I'm pretty sure you've got my badge number memorized. And then from inside you're hearing, yeah, well, I'm gonna need it again, aren't I? Jesus Christ, are you fucking kidding me? We've done this like, what, 10 times in the last month and you're gonna keep doing this shit? Okay, well, if you're going to keep talking to me like that, then yes, I'm going to keep doing this shit. And she, it's a very aggrieved sigh, and she slumps, and then she just like slaps. She slaps it. She slaps her ID down.
Slap.
And just shoves it under the little tray thing for him to grab. And she does not notice that you're there.
I walk up to right beside her, and I kind of just say, hey, Jay, you good?
Yeah, it's just fucking lockup. And the guy in lockup who is like, he's a portly dude. Like, you wouldn't want to fuck with him because he's kind of like, you'd probably be fine. But the average citizen, he's just tall and large. He's just a big dude. And he's very scruffy, red hair, kind of graying in areas. And he just, like, leans over. And he's wearing these huge, kind of squarish 80s glasses. I guess those are back in style at this point for some reason. Because I've made it so. Anyway.
It always comes back.
It always comes back. And he just leans over to look at her. Like, just a deadpan stare. And then he gets back to whatever it was that he was doing.
Man, I think he has it out for you.
God, he does every fucking time.
Anyway, you good here? Do you need anything else from me?
No, I'm good. If you want to head out, go home and get some sleep. I'm just going to finish this. I'm going to toss in some paperwork, and then I'm going to go too.
All right. Well, if you need anything, just let me know. I will probably be not sleeping, so...
why not? Why are you not sleeping? What's going on?
You know how it is. Well, one, just like I'm worried about Maddie, but that's nothing new. Mm-hmm. And two, just like I am a disturbed elderly gentleman that has been through a lot in his life. So what do you do?
You're basically a toddler. You're not old. What? You're Jesus. You're not old.
Like, wait, how old am I in here? Like, it's just like I just dead stare at her, and I'm like pointing to like the sides of my head. It's like, well, at least like I'm graying. Like, at least everyone else thinks I'm old.
Yeah, the job will do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, the job, like worrying about my bro. So it's just,
how's he doing?
It is what it is.
Is he doing okay?
Oh, he's doing well. He's just we just don't talk. It's not like there's no reason he didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. It's just like, we just don't get along, you know? Like, two different worlds is the best way to put it. Mm-hmm. At least he calls in to check, you know, like, to check in and vice versa ever so often. That's all I could really ask for.
Yeah. Have you even talked to your mom or anything, have you? Do you think he's really talking to her?
No. family drama.
Well, from what I've heard, that's probably for the best.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But it'll be fine. Probably one of these days we have to sit down and have a discussion, but...
Yeah, you know, it's probably a good idea.
But you know how people, like, run away from their emotions, you know, and all that good jazz. So, we'll see how that goes. But at least I know he's alive and he knows I am. So, that's something.
That's a pretty big something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so, don't worry about me. I am A-okay, but if you need me, just let me know. I will do some paperwork on my own, and then I will dip.
All right. Thanks for coming tonight, Glenn. I appreciate it.
No problem. Take care.
What do you mean I got it? God damn it. Are you fucking kidding? I just handed you my badge. I don't have another one. Am I supposed to pull this out of my ass? And that's the conversation you hear as you walk away.
As I walk out of and hear her disgruntledness, I'm just kind of like, the pit's kind of filling up, well, like at the base of my stomach now, because she's definitely not dropping off what she just got from her informant. So I am going to play it cool for now. I'm going to go to my desk and write up my report for the evening.
Okay.
I'm tempted to just kind of follow her to see where she goes after she leaves. So I'm just going to probably go to my car, wait for her to leave, and see if she goes home.
Okay, so if you're trying to be stealthy about following her, it will be a stealth check.
Okay.
Even driving. You're trying to like drive stealthy. I'm not gonna make you do both, even though I'm kind of tempted, but I'm not going to. Are you gonna like follow her the entire way, or just like watching as she goes? What would you like to do?
I'm gonna try to roll it. Jesus, like I'm just like, yeah, I'm like, I like my like, please dice, don't fail me now. Is all. It's just like, very obvious man is all. So. Oh, thank God. I got 8.
Wow. Yeah, you're lucky because you only have the base on that. So.
I know. I was just like, I was like just staring at my base. I'm like, sweet Jesus Lord.
Please.
It's either that or I'm just going to like drive like directly behind her car the entire time. I'm like
flashing your brights.
Just like, yeah, it's not me, your partner. Like,
it's not me. All right.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. So excited. All right. So eventually she comes out. It's taking quite a bit. She's got her bag with her. which is just big enough to not be able to really tell if she's like carrying a bunch of shit in it or not. It's like a messenger bag, so who knows? So she gets into her car and she starts driving off in the opposite direction of where she lives, and you're able to keep your car an appropriate enough distance away that she doesn't really notice. And soon you're driving down incredibly familiar streets because you were just on them. And she pulls back up in front of that warehouse where her informant was.
Fuck, Jay. I'm gonna, like, stop. I'm just gonna wait and watch to see what she does. If she goes in or, like, if she meets someone else. I'm just gonna wait to see what she does.
She sits in her car for a little bit, and it looks like she's talking on her cell phone for some of it, at least. And then eventually she gets out and walks into the warehouse. And the guy who she had met before, her informant, meets her in that little entryway, and he's the one who lets her in.
All right. Can I take a picture of that? Do I have to do... I definitely have to do computer usage for this. Okay.
Watch. Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you're still not tech savvy.
Like, doesn't matter how blessed your dice are. I got like a 54. So
you go to take the picture, but it comes out dark and blurry, and she's already like inside by the time you get your phone out and the app open and your settings right. You do get a picture of her car, though.
Okay, so that's something, but not her or any interaction. All right. I put my phone away and I reluctantly leave, but I now know that this is definitely, obviously, definitely not correct. And I'm trying, and then I kind of peel off and drive home from there.
Let's actually do a drive auto this time. You're stressed out.
Yeah, but I was You're just distracted. How does this work? No. Well, what's my like my drive?
Your drive auto is 44. Yeah.
Can I just take? Oh, I'm just gonna take a lot of luck on that one. 5. I'm taking 5 off.
Oh, you said a lot, and I was like bracing myself for a huge number.
I'm just stingy with my luck, just in general.
Well, it'll go back up to what it was when we left off. Present moment. Oh, God. It's weird because this is technically the future for us, but it's the past for him. But his present is our super future. So.
What?
Yeah, yeah. We're just going to say that it's fine. Okay. You take that luck off. It's a close call a couple of times, but also you're driving in New York City, so fuck it. Whatever. Who gives a shit?
It really be like that.
And you're kind of mulling over. So what are you thinking?
I'm thinking that whatever Jay's involved in, whether either she's a dealer or deep cover, if I'm being like, oh, she's that's not what it looked like. It could just be she's in deep, deep cover, whatever it might be. But if that were the case, like, if she were in deep cover, then clearly, like, she would have told someone. And why invite me on if you're not going to tell me everything? And I'm wondering if I should bring this to the chief, if I should just sleep it over and discuss it with her first.
Roll an education check. I feel like this falls in the category of like professional
intelligence. Academy.
Yeah.
52.
It's close. Your education's 47. You're very close. Which is a weird number, so you must have succeeded somewhere.
I might have. I was just like, yeah, that is a weird number. I was like, when did I go up to 7?
You're close enough that your gut is like, either take it to chief or take it to internal affairs. leaning like more heavily on the training side of things, where they're like, just take it completely out of your precinct's hands. It needs to be done through third party.
Okay. I'm gonna definitely mull it over tonight. So I predicted correctly. Like, I'm not sleeping tonight.
You called it.
At all. Called it. So yeah, I'm gonna head over to my home. Probably pour some scotch. Not watch crime TV.
Like, you don't need your day job.
What is it, like the Homeowners Channel? Or HGTV? Like, I'm just gonna watch that.
Put on the Landownership Cousins or whatever the fuck.
Mm-hmm. You know, like learn about feng shui and all that other stuff.
Perfect.
And I'm just gonna try to distract myself. It's not working. And I'm gonna do some research also into Somnia.
Okay. What would you like to know?
What happens to the person when they take it? I'm assuming they go. Well, actually, you kind of told me. I think they like go into a coma, right? Or like they pass out or something like that.
I mean, if you want to do like a Gongle search and get kind of firsthand stuff, I can give you that.
Is it like a WebMD on the.
Well, like, let's see what your computer use turns up. Actually, no. I think we said Gongle was library use. So,
okay.
Oh no, that's worse.
Yes, I'm like, no.
Shit.
I'm just like going through this world not learning how to use a computer or a phone. Like, I don't know. I got 75. That's not a.
Okay, so yeah. You get, it's not WebMD, it's like holistic WebMD, where like it might be run by a pyramid scheme trying to sell you essential oils and like rocks. Scamway stuff. So what you find is like this glowing article about how Somnia will send you on an astral journey that you could only dream of, literally only dream of. And there's like a weird footnote at the end of it that says, you know, sometimes I've heard that people don't come back from their trips down this lane, but I've never personally met anybody who just went off into the dreamlands and never came back. And I've never met anybody who was hijacked by an interdimensional shambler. These are just crazy rumors. Somnia's fine. Legalize Somnia.
I just kind of roll my eyes at that, like blurb. I was just like, oh, okay.
There's also like a comment section where a bunch of people are like, you've never done Somnia. That's not what it's like. And then there's one person who's like, that's how the big government gets you. They put you on the drugs, the opiates of the masses, and then they steal your brain. And that's why people are left as husks.
It Glenn gets a really hearty laugh at that one. It's just like, there's always that one dude.
The dude's picture, it has them wearing a tinfoil hat holding up like an Illuminati symbol. So you're like, okay, you know who this is.
It's just like, yeah, like there's at least one.
They don't believe in vaccines for sure. And if they do believe in vaccines, it's because the government's putting nanobots into your body to make sure you never get an erection again or something. I don't know.
Something really to worry about, I guess. Anyway, like, so I just kind of like pinched the bridge of my nose and like, Jesus fucking Christ. At least that's something, I guess. It doesn't really tell me anything that she, like, Jay didn't tell me. Can I do another search for if there's like withdrawal symptoms besides being hijacked by like an interdimensional being?
Sure. Yeah, that's a pretty severe side effect.
That seems like the worst case scenario. Yeah. But, like, what happens when they come back? Do like they act differently or anything like that? 8. Also library use.
Yes.
25. Shit. Okay. I'm gonna take 5. I don't care.
You're drunk. You're just tossing it away now. Like, whatever. Whatever I need to get me the answers, I gotta get. Eventually, you've beat-bopped your way into You've bebopped your way into actual answers of things. And you find a Shreddit post where somebody had asked, like, Somnia users, frequent Somnia users, do you experience anything after? What's it like? And if you sort by top, you actually get, like, some decent recountings of feeling kind of weird and wibbly, like you didn't quite belong in your own body once you get back into it. If you sort by controversial, it's pretty clear that there are some pretty heavy Somnia users who have downvoted these into oblivion, but then there have been some other people who are like, yeah, this is actually useful. So it's like caught in that weird nega space of Shreddit. And one of the top comments in that regard talks about how, yes, you feel wibbly and weird, but it's because you're not attached anymore to your body. And if you take too much of it, you can sever your consciousness from your physical form and shunt it into the dreamlands. The problem is that once it's severed, you can't obviously get back to your body. You're just sort of stuck there in this dream space forever, which is why people don't always return from their trips, because they've managed to cut the tie. And there's a time period there when you're in the middle of this sort of severing where your body is still sort of open, because it's still kind of like, well, maybe you'll come back. IDK, you left the door open, so I assume you're coming back to me at some point. But you can't get back, but that doesn't mean that nothing else can. So there's room there for something else to slip in, which is how bodies get hijacked. And nobody who is completely severed really comes back from that state, because obviously you've, like, chucked your brain into the void, and the void is like, thanks for the brain! The people who eventually, like, they do manage to not sever that tie, and they come back. One, the real world sucks ass compared to the Dreamlands, because you can't do anything that you want to do there. Like, Dreamlands is just a land of infinite potential, whether that's good or bad, TBD. But you can basically do whatever you want there. So coming back to a reality where that's not the case sucks really hard. So there's a lot of disconnect there in between what you feel should be happening and what is actually happening. There's a dissociation. There's massive depersonalization where it's like, I don't have a body. This isn't mine. This isn't my life, because my life is in the Dreamlands and not here. So you get that really severe schism between what's real and what's not. Real being relative, but that's like a totally different discussion. and the effects are more psychological than they are physical at that point.
Kind of disappointed. Well, not kind of. Like, I'm extremely disappointed in Jay if, like, she's messing with this stuff. After reading that, I'm kind of getting very irritated. So I'm just gonna... Well, mad. I'm just gonna... Not slam my... I'm gonna slam my laptop closed. I'm, like, not happy. Down the rest of my scotch and head to bed, or try to head to bed. Set my alarm for the next day. And hopefully in the morning I will have made up my mind of who I'm talking to, leaning towards internal affairs at this current moment.
All right, well, you're gonna have to tell me that, because you go to sleep as much as you can anyway. Your dreams are that weird, I'm not sleeping, now I'm just more stressed out because my dreams are like real life and I hate that. Where you're just playing this over and your brain doesn't give you a break from it, really. So you toss and turn most of the night. And every time you think that you're, like, falling asleep, you just fall into one of those shit dreams. And then you're like, well, what was the point of sleeping? So you wake up. What are you determined to do with this?
I'm gonna call internal affairs. I'm gonna make a pot of coffee first, for fuck sure. I'm just, like, not gonna do this without having some caffeine. I didn't sleep. I'm gonna do that, and then... Do I have the number saved, or do I have to, like, Or is it, like, easy to, like, find, like, in terms of the directory of, like, the precinct?
It'd be pretty easy to find, I think. Because, I mean, even in the precinct, they have it on posters and shit in the break room where it's like, if you see something, you say something. You know? You know? Keep each other honest.
Okay. So I will look for that number. And I'm going to call it.
Hey, was Sam, it's cool, it was just me. Was Sam here recently? She took my portal stuff and I'm in it big time if I don't get it back.
Yeah, but she just left.
Shoot. Okay, here's something from our Penwich Studio Network fam that I think you'll really like. Check this out and I will be right back.
I'm Missy.
I'm Mary.
And we're Fake Geek Girls, a podcast looking at nerdy pop culture from both a fan and critical perspective, encouraging the things we love to do better.
That means we combine our love of pop culture and critical theory, asking important questions like, does Venom represent the Jungian shadow self?
Maybe.
And what does Legend of Korra have to do with modernity?
More than you would think. Fans and critics isn't just a fun phrase for us. We legitimately love all of the things that we cover, with a few notable exceptions. Looking at you, B-movie.
For us, criticism doesn't mean pointing at why something is bad. It means engaging with pop culture on a deeper and contextual level. Also, Missy truly loves to read dry academic essays.
It's true. Check out Fake Geek Girls every week at fakegeekgirlscast.com, along with the rest of the excellent shows on the Penwich Studio Network.